And now we return to the thrilling adventure serial, The Fourth Tower of Inverness. Darkness shrouds the old Victorian mansion set high upon the mountaintop overlooking the Bay of Inverness. Clouds move swiftly across the moon. In the stillness of the night, a form can be seen creeping slowly, cautiously through the dark, silent halls of Inverness.
Shoot!
Finally it stops. Reaching, feeling beneath the woodwork, it finds a small, ivory, oval button. It presses the button. A panel slides open. It steps through, carefully maneuvering a 12-foot aluminum extension ladder.
Done.
Fortunately, the maneuvering is not too difficult, for the ladder is collapsible. Eventually, he makes it through into the inner passageway between the walls. He closes the panel behind him and continues down the inner passage. His way is lighted by candles, rows of candelabras shaped like human arms. Each candelabra holds 6 long white tapers. He's now in the realm of the Madonna Vampira, the strange, pale, beautiful creature that lives within the walls of Inverness. The Madonna Vampira usually sleeps by day and moves by night. Half saint, half devil, half Madonna, half vampire. This strange, exotic woman, her long, slender body, her pale, milk-white skin, her jet-black hair, dark green eyes, and face of the Madonna, casts a fascinating spell upon men who foolishly think they can possess such a creature. She is not a fairy tale vampire with vulgar painted fangs that pierce into the soft veins of her victims. No, she is an astral vampire, one who slowly sucks the energy from her victims until their minds lay like so many bleached and broken bones scattered at her doorstep. Jack Flanders is aware of all this. He's been light on his feet, always presenting a moving target. And while he dodged, they've become friends. He almost trusts her. Almost.
Fancy meeting me here.
Going to the fireman's ball?
Oh, you mean the ladder. No, actually, I plan to scale the fourth tower.
Why do you wish to do that? Because it's there?
Well, ever since man began to build towers, there's been some bloke who wanted to climb them, you see.
Aren't there steps?
Yeah. But I prefer the German school of tower climbing. Straight up the side. It's quicker.
Which side?
The inside.
There are steps, you know.
Well, how do you know?
I read it in a book.
Hey, where is that book, anyway?
I borrowed it from Lady Jowls and lent it to Dr. Missoula.
Well, what else did it say?
I don't know. I became bored.
Oh, come on. You must remember something else.
No, that's all.
Well, thanks anyway.
You're leaving so soon?
Yep, it's climbing time. I'll see you.
Wait, I do remember something else.
Yeah? What?
Would you care for a cup of tea?
I just had one, thank you.
How about a liverwurst on rye?
No thanks, it's a little too heavy for climbing.
How about a really rare, exotic delicacy?
What?
Me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, not tonight. I have a tower to climb.
Did you ever read The Master Builder?
Ibsen? Mm. Well, sure. Why?
I don't know. I just wondered if you ever read anything.
Yeah, well, I ain't gonna battle with you now. I'll see you.
There are 12 levels within the tower.
12 levels?
Every level is a world in itself.
Really?
That's what the book said. And it can be dangerous.
You mean demons and things?
The real danger is orientation. Your mind expects things to be a certain way. They won't be, at all. Your mind will strive to make sense out of what you'll see, trying to create some logical pattern. This pressure may cause the mind to burst apart, and you'll be insane for the rest of this life.
Well, maybe I should take along a crash helmet.
I'm serious. Also, since you're taking your body, there may be creatures that want to enter your body.
Well, what would they want this thing for? It's sturdy, but there's only room for one.
No. There's room for many. A clairvoyant may see many people plaguing an insane person.
Okay, I'll plug up all my holes.
I really am serious about this.
All right, what else?
Don't worry. Be happy.
Oh, great. Now she tells me to be
Worrying
happy.
Worrying will attract negativeness. Positive attracts positive. But it's all right, because since you were able to withstand the maze and keep your cool, you'll be just fine.
Well, thanks.
There's better ways to thank me.
How?
Set that ladder down. Take me in your arms and kiss me, obviously.
Look, it's not that I don't find you attractive. It's just that I have more important things to do.
You lily-livered little sneak.
Now, wait a minute.
You sniveling, snotty little cretin.
Look, I really like you, but...
We'll see how good you are at always keeping a moving target. Try this! And this!
Watch it! Feet, do your stuff.
I hope the demons pluck your eyes out and use them for marbles. And may they use your ribcage for a trampoline. And your pelvic bone to scrape the slime from off their paws! Oh, Jack.
What?
Good luck.
Many a tear has to fall. But it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love. You have words with him.
It's nighttime in the old Victorian mansion. A clock strikes three. In the room where Jack sleeps, a panel slowly, silently slides open. In the still blackness of the night, two figures slip from the wall and cautiously creep toward the bed where sleepeth Jack. But when they arrive, Jack is not there. The bed is empty. They scratch their heads and return into the wall. Meanwhile, away off on the other side of the old mansion, somewhere in the walls, is Jack. He carries a 12-foot aluminum extension ladder. He stops before the mirror door. He opens the door, and there, only about 4 feet away, is a second mirror, a large oval mirror. A bluish-white light emanates from deep within. Jack steps back, then plunges headlong through the oval reflection and into the fourth tower of Inverness.
Wow. Here I am, inside this big mother. Same as before. There's the narrow ledge and the bottomless space in between, and the clouds drifting below. And across the gap, there's the other ledge and steps leading up. So this ladder, extended across, should reach. Oh, it does. Good, good. Now to scamper across. That space really is bottomless. White clouds lazily drifting by. Blue skies beneath. And here it is supposed to be night. I don't understand this at all. Well, forward. There. Finally, I'm on the other side. I wonder if I should take the ladder with me. Good question. If I have to return in a hurry, at least I'll be able to clamber across. I'll leave it. Now let's see where these steps lead. Strange symbols painted on the walls. Torches are burning, lighting the way. I wonder if they're real. Ow! Ow! Yeah, they're real, all right. There's a door up ahead. The steps continue up. I'll take a peek through the door and then continue. This door looks like something out of medieval times. Amazing. It opens into a room that's... How is that possible? It's the living room of Inverness. But I've never seen this door before. light is so strange. The floor seems to be tilted. No wonder it feels funny. It is tilted. Something's not right. It's as if every piece of furniture were alive in some way. I wonder if the other rooms are like this. Eerie, bluish-white light that undulates, as though breathing. It's as though the mansion were alive, breathing like a living creature. Or is it me? No, I'm okay. I'll check out the library. Phew, those books. What is it? What a strange yellowish glow coming from within the bindings. But it's the feeling in this room that's really weird. There are books here I've never seen before. Some of these have yet to be published. Am I in the future? No, I don't think so. It's something else. But what? What's going on?
Jack removes a thin volume of poems from the shelf. But when he opens the book, the words slide from the pages and fall to the floor, shattering like tiny pieces of crystal. The pages become blank, empty, and his mind tumbles through space, caught and directed by the author's mind, the creator's mind, caught in his inspiration, his hang-ups, his soul, and then finally, freed.
I think that's enough reading for one day. Boy, if the author has some points to be made, it's like crawling through barbed wire.
He selects another slim volume, tucks it beneath his arm, and returns to the living room.
This place ain't right, that's for sure. It's like stepping through a door and into a dream. It's a bit much to handle. My God, this place is in motion. We're floating through the air. Look at the windows, there's stars everywhere. This thing's floating out into space.
Suddenly the room tilts. Jack drops to the floor and digs his fingers into the carpet as the room begins to spin. Slow at first, then faster and faster. The stars and planets whirl past the windows faster and faster until they become streaks of light, comets chasing their own tails. And then it slows. And then it stops. Jack cautiously crawls to the door from which he'd entered. He stands up, takes one last look at the living room, the brilliant stars, when far off in space, he sees someone sitting upon a prayer carpet, sailing through the stars. They do a quick loop-de-loop around a small asteroid and continue on out of sight.
Away! Oh, my goodness.
Tune in at this same time next Monday when you'll hear...
What are you wearing them things for?
Those are my toes.
I think they get in your way bunched up the end of your boot there. Why don't you carry them in your pocket?
The Fourth Tower is produced by ZBS Media.